Let him and sit down. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, what will be your story after the empowerment? I have a little topic I tattoo my testimony. Amen. What will be the testimony after the empowerment program? Amen. Because definitely, whether you like it or not, you must have a testimony. The testimony is either you, after the empowerment, your life gets better. Or after the empowerment, amen, something happened. Amen. There must be a testimony. So while we embark on programs like this, we are expecting that after the empowering program, something better will be happening. Our life will get better. Amen. Your character as a Christian will be different. Because this program is being organized because the body of Christ needs to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We did not just feel like organizing program. Hallelujah. Something propelled it. This program, some people need it. How would they call it? Quarterly. Thank you very much. We organize one in January, one in March, one in July, another one in December. You know why? Because of the kind of life you live. Praise Master Jesus. It is not for you to come every evening and eat bread and eat wine and go home. We are not training you how to fast. If you want to be equipped in fasting and prayer, go to the mountain. You will see them there. Or you enter mountain on fire, where you will jump mountain and fire at the same time. Hallelujah. But there is a reason why the program was organized, to make your life better. Praise Master Jesus. Because we are called to be conformed to his image. And when we have not attained to that, we need programs like this to draw us more closer to him. What I'm saying is not different from what other preachers have been saying from the beginning of this program. But we must continue to say it. Hallelujah. Because many of the people are benefiting from what is coming out from the altar. And many are repenting. But some say, I'm waiting for another empowerment program. That is why preachers are hitting it harder. So that you will not postpone it, you will do it now. Hallelujah. Amen. Your life can never be better with Jesus if you are not with him. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. They were not the Lord. They knew not the Lord. They were sons of Belial. Belial means they are wicked human beings. They are sons of Satan. Another translation says they are sons of Satan. How can the sons of Eli? Eli is a priest and has these two sons. And automatically in the land of Israel, they must become a priest because they are from that lineage. Hello? Praise Master Jesus. But these two, where they come from, nobody knew. But they were priests. Can I tell you something? They were ministering at the altar. They were entering the holiest of holies, offering sacrifice for Israel. But yet, they are wicked They were sons of Satan. They were operating with a strange fire. Hallelujah. Praise Master Jesus. Give me that scripture. I'm still going there. Now, the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came. While the flesh was in sitting with the flesh hook of the tree, of the three teeth in his hand. Run straight to 15. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest servant came and said to the man of the sacrifice, give the flesh to roast for the priest, for he will have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as their soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now. And if not, I will take it by force. You see how they were operating? Wherefore the sin of the young men were very great before the Lord. For the men abhorred the offering of the Lord. These guys are dupers at the altar. These guys knew not God, yet they were priests. These guys, their character is not referring anything according to the law on how to serve the people. But yet, people run to them as a priest. How can God reserve such a man at the altar? Another dangerous testimony is these men bring women and defy them in the temple. Abomination. But yet, God was still looking at him. Yet, he was still offering sacrifices. The temple is a holy temple, but the vessel is a wrong one. Hallelujah. The temple is holy, but the vessel, there is a problem. But unknown to Eli that God was preparing Samuel. God was preparing who? Samuel. To do what? To bring the true character of a priesthood. What am I talking about? Your testimony after this empowerment. How will it be? You came in as a fornicator. How will it end after the empowerment? Amen. Because there is something you don't understand. Following this God is not an easy task. Hallelujah. You must give it all. And Jesus told him, I said, carry your cross and follow me. The man thought it's just an ordinary stick. He said, are they ready now? When Jesus gave him the task, he became angry. Hallelujah. The cross is not Bible. Bible is not a cross. But the cross is inside the word of God. Don't carry Bible and be running that you are a Christian. You are not. Until the life has something to do with the scriptures. Hallelujah. After the empowerment, what is the testimony? I was a rugged gossiper. After the empowerment now, will you still continue? All the wine want to drink here, chop all the body of Christ want to chop for here. If we catch you, say you gossip anywhere. Oh my God. After eating wine and bread for 30 days, Abba. What happened? Pastor Lumide will conduct serious deliverance on you. It is not communion and wine again. Hallelujah. These sons of Belial brought death to the land of Israel. It was in their generation that the ark of God left the city. There was a war between them and the Philistine. And they fought the battle. The Philistine destroyed many of them. About how many thousand? 40,000 men died. And they remember, say, hey, there is an ark of God. Please, let's go and bring it so we can face this enemy. When they brought the ark, they thought that God was with them. God was far from them. They brought the ark and gave it to the same priest, Hophni and Phinehas. They gave it to these two sons of Eli. Sons of Belial, where they were holding the ark for the battle. How will they win? Hophni and Phinehas. How will they win? And the Philistine landed on them and killed 30,000 of them. They hit them. And the ark of God was taken away. That was the death of those two priests. You can't serve God in deceit and go free. You can't deceive God. Hallelujah. You can never deceive him. He is only watching you as he's watching the two sons of Eli. Because he knew the end is coming. And listen to me. God is quick to replace you because he don't joke with his assignment. When you are not faithful, he replaces you immediately. If he doesn't come at that time, he will be warming the person up. You don't joke with him. You can't give, you sit down there, they wait, make they beg you. Don't worry. Replacement is coming. Don't worry. Amen. These two sons of Eli brought death. What made them to bring death? It was sin, abomination, impunity. Hallelujah. They were holding the ark in fornication. They were holding the ark in stealing. They were holding the ark in abomination. And the city was trembling. But when God saw the heart of the people, he warmed up Samuel. He began to warm up Samuel. Do you know that Samuel was ministering at the temple before he heard the voice? You see? So you are sitting down, you are not doing anything. It is when God sees what you are doing that he can announce it, that he can lift it up. When God saw Samuel is as little as he is always ministering at the altar before Eli. Doesn't take long. God spoke to him at night. Samuel! He thought it was Eli calling him. That's how many people, you don't understand the voice you hear. It's because you are not close to him. Because when you are close to him, you will understand when he speaks to you. Hallelujah. When they say, sister, this is wrong, you will know that that is true, it is wrong. You repent. It is not when they say it is wrong, you will go back and begin to fight the person. And the way you fight the person, you can never win. So why not you surrender to God's agenda? God's principle. Praise Master Jesus. Hallelujah. So these sons of Belial brought death. Hope, Phinehas, and Phinehas. They are not spiritual men. They are men that encourages the things of the flesh. They are men of the flesh. Hallelujah. Flesh is in control of them, even without priesthood on them. Hallelujah. Praise Master Jesus. But God has to replace him in doing what? In raising up Samuel. Praise Master Jesus. And Samuel become the priest unto God. When God had finally dealt with this spirit, with these two people. I pick a testimony from this story, knowing that when you are serving God, keep your hand clean. The ark of God is the word of God. Don't mess with it. Don't mess up with it. You hear the word from the altar, operate it. Practice it. How can you say you are a Christian and when you hear the word, you go home and become another thing? I mean, something is wrong. Hallelujah. Some will hear finish, they will still go back to their girlfriend. Eh? If you they change one before, you go they change two now because you don't receive the anointing to change two. All of them is empowerment. Empowerment to receive, empowerment to. Amen. No, I am telling you, I just, you know, today I just want to talk to us, not to, you know, bring scriptures. Amen. We need to be born again. Tell your neighbor. Tell him, you need to be born again. Listen to me. You don't need announcement to be reviewed as a born again Christian. When they saw the disciple of John, they call him, they said, John's disciples, they know them in praying and fasting. They said, these disciples that is following Jesus, they are not like these people. They always pray and they always fast. Amen. That is what they know them to be. Because they act like also the disciples of the Pharisees. That was their nature. Hallelujah. But there is another disciple that came. Amen. And when they saw them, they said, no. This ones, don't be praying and fasting. I will tell no them. They are Christ-like. You know why? They live the life of Christ. Conversion can never come by prayer. It is the character that propels you to be outstanding as a Christian. That is why Christianity is a character. It is not a religion. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. There is a lifestyle you begin to live. Those people will begin to point, this lady is a Christian. She is a Christian. For church here, you are a troublemaker. If you come there for house, uncle. Yeah? For church, you don't agree us rest. Problem. This sister is a problem. That means nobody can even visit you because the testimony they will hear there in the neighborhood. Even you will come visit, you go ashamed. Amen. That was what the sister was telling me that, you know, this sister, why they see so? If you wear in bomber short, fight for compound, you go no sinner from bride they come from. You don't go no say nah, from bride assembly come from. So that kind of sister, let me go visit them. Oh my God. Oh, as the pastor of boxers. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. I'm just trying to round up. I have some other things to say, but y'all just want to round up? Amen. Because of my time. Now, amen. You say, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have God, and ye are not your own. That last word, please write it on your Bible. Face of your Bible. Eh? Write it on your Bible. You say, and ye are not your own. The life you live is not your own. He said, you are the temple of God. That means if you are the temple of God, there is an expectation of who that has that temple to come inside and live a life that is not your own. In the Old Testament, the temple, they have a temple. Amen. Where they offer sacrifices. And the Bible says, when they want to do that, the glory of God comes to the temple. That glory makes the temple holy. Every vessel in that temple must be holy. Everything, including the dust there, must be holy. That is why any priest that enters there that is not holy, it dies there at the spot. Amen. They will die there today. Hallelujah. Sorry, no be there today. they will die there that same day they did that. Are you hearing me? So, and that is why any priest that want to go offer any sacrifice, they will tie a bell on his waist and a long rope outside in case if you know this calendar they used to do responsorial psalm with incense. That's how the priest will begin to walk around the altar in the temple of holies, begin to do that. So the bell will begin to ring, showing that the priest is still alive. So when the bell ceases to ring and they waited for 1 hour, he no come out. 1 hour, 30 minutes, he no come out. 2 hours, he no come out. They go say, nah, agwa pangagwa. Oh yeah, draw him out. They will pull the priest full of iniquity out of the temple. Dead. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. They will bring him out dead. Praise Master Jesus. And that is why you should know that your body is typing that temple. The Bible said that temple is a holy temple. Your body is supposed to be a holy temple. Hallelujah. The Bible said we are the vessels of the Most High. And we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That means in the Old Testament, they have a temple and the vessel comes there. But in this time, you are both the temple and the vessel. Hallelujah. So when God wants to release his glory, it comes inside of you. And that is why they came down from upper room. They began to walk as if they were drunk. Actually, they were drunk. They were drunk. People saw them. These guys are drunk. When they come close to hear what the kind of alcohol they took, they could not hear the smell. But they knew that these guys were drunk. But in that drunkenness, after Peter finished, 3,000 gave their life to Christ. Amen. I need that kind of wine they drank at the upper room. So that I can intoxicate in the Holy Ghost. And that was what gave them that name in Antioch. Because that was what that drunkenness produced in them. It produced a lifestyle. It produces a lifestyle. Hallelujah. In Daniel chapter 5 verse 1. It produces a lifestyle. So you are supposed to be that temple that the Bible is talking about. The temple of the Most High. How can you be a temple and you are defiled? You are disappointing your maker. How can he say you are my temple? And in that temple, you will do nothing spiritual in that temple. All in your heart is gossip, backbiting. You see any man, you go to shake. I'm telling you. And you be holding Jesus and you say you are you don't take I see woman every fornication, you carry someone go out tomorrow, you're going to think which one to carry again, and yet you are carrying the Bible. That is why I say you might be carrying the cross, the Bible. Amen. Thinking you are carrying the cross, you've not yet carried the cross, because the cross is in the Word of God, where you abide with this principle. Hallelujah. And partake with the suffering inscribed in his word. Then you'll be part of him. Part of the people that carry that cross. Amen. It is easy to preach. People say, yes, sir, and will not act. How can you be saying, yes, sir, ride on? And when you go home, you are opposite. The preacher, we are not riding on again. Repent. Your life is not giving a good meaning. You say that there are people are dying in your village. You cannot win one soul. And you say you receive message. Which message you receive? What is the meaning of message? If you have a message, truly, she will know you have a message. You will preach the message. The gospel is never a gospel if you don't relate it, because the Bible calls it good news. So the good news is also the message. Hear me well. You are not in the message if you did not tell someone. somebody something. We are in the message. What is the message? Come out of her. Every day you come and say, we're not going to pray for her again. You people must go to heaven. This program has come to stay. But listen to me. The reason of this program is because our lifestyle gets as it be. And I bring this program. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me that scripture, Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before thousands too. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessel which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem. All the day, Belshazzar was acting out of much alcohol. Why didn't he remember the verses before? When he is drunk, he said, that and the night devil let her know to make you go offend God. Oh yeah? That verse where Nebuchadnezzar bring, you know, not say they there, go carry him. The one saw with the third drink, you know, good again. Now the one where they bring from the temple in Jerusalem, now you want, make you third drink, kai kai. Oh yeah, bring. And they brought it to him. Give me that scripture. I'm still going there. They brought the vessel. Amen. Here, oh. Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wife and his concubine, his side chicks, might drink thereof. Him and his prostitutes, him and his partner in sin, him and the people he is patronizing in iniquity, that they might drink out of the priesthood vessel. Oh my God. If God can value this vessel in the temple of Jerusalem, how much more you? How much more you? The problem is our life is far from him. That is our problem. Hallelujah. Give me the second scripture. The second verse. And when they drank out of the temple, what happened? Then they brought the golden vessel that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was in Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wife and his concubine drank in them. For they drank wine and praise the gods of gold. Aye. They call it in my place, Alum. The gods of gold and silver and brass and iron and wood and of stone. This god has no leg to walk. It has no mouth to eat. To talk. Amen. So, he actually mocked the Lord. He actually mocked the God of Israel. Hallelujah. And you know God, you don't dare mock him. You are a vessel that is appointed for a service and you are messing it up. Heaven will come down. If he didn't come down immediately, wait for him. He's coming. The wrath is coming. You don't joke with him. Hallelujah. You don't joke with him. Give me to 25, please. Let me round up. Daniel 5, 25. 25. You don't joke with him. He values you very well. That is why he declared to the whole world that you are his temple and his vessel. Hallelujah. You know why? Because with you, he furnish with his mercy to dwell in. He is pleased to dwell in you. He made you specially. He made you specially. Hallelujah. And when Belshazzar took the cup and his concubine, they begin to drink. Heaven reacted in verse 25. Hallelujah. He said, and this is the writing. A writing. God came down and began to write. Hey. He did not stroke him. He wanted him to read something. And heaven came down with a hand, a finger, begin to write. What was he writing? He began to write many, many tekel of fazin. Everybody became confused. Hallelujah. But before we jump something, before this happened, hallelujah, something happened. The wrath of God came upon him immediately. The Bible said his lungs had a problem. He could not walk well after the voice, after the writing. They have to call Daniel, please come and explain. I am dying. Why won't you die? That is the same thing you are hearing every day here. Change your lifestyle. You not get to life to live. If you die now, where will you go? No, just make it something just happen now. You just sure say the climb ladder of heaven. That should be some of the things we should reason. There are many of us here, many of you here that are following this program, whether online or anywhere. You are a humanizer. It pains me so much when I hear testimonies like this, that this man fornicates and you are carrying Bible. My God. Something that we finish in the party hall before coming to the light. What shows that you are in the light? There is nothing to show that you have found light. You are still in darkness. Hallelujah. You are still in darkness. Because if you are truly in the light, people around you will receive the light. The reason why people are not lighting, you know, around you is because there is no light that will lighten them. After this program now, you will still remain the same. You became a benchwarmer since 2021. You became a benchwarmer. After this program, you will still become another benchwarmer. You are empowered to reach out. You are empowered. You think God does not call women? Phoebe was a servant of the church. Phoebe is in Romans chapter 16. Eh? Yes. She was a servant. She took the epistle of Paul. She will go to here, go to here, go to, you know, she makes sure that she reached out with these epistles. And Bible recorded her as a servant of the church. While other women are sitting down. We are meant to reach out. We are meant to testify. That is why. Why are people not testifying? Because there is no testimony. If you have a testimony, people will hear testimony. People will come and benefit with your testimony. Am I talking to somebody here? After today, after this empowerment, you must have a good testimony. Am I talking to somebody here? Hallelujah. When that writing came on the wall, hallelujah, they have to call down and come and explain. Because you have offended God. You are the vessel of God. God holds you in a high esteem. And when God is lifting you up, you are bringing him down with your sin, unforgiveness of spirit, unforgiven heart. There was a sister I offended before the empowerment. Amen. Actually, I was guilty of it too. I was speaking against what she does. Amen. So when I went to greet her, somebody told her, the same people will come and then go tell them again. And I said, it's how are you? She turned. I said, which kind of wallet be this one? I mean, she don't know. Oh my God. The next service again, I saw her. After I saw her, I went to greet her. She turned back like this. I said, wahala, don't come. If she sacked me from far, she go follow like this. I say, oh my God. What is the problem? I don't know why she's running from me. So I was praying. I said, God, bring this face back to me. I don't want to keep malice for church. Which kind of wahala be all this one? Do you understand? But something happened. God sees my heart. I was praying, Father, bring her back. I saw in the revelation, as Prophet Charles said, the Lord told me. I saw she came to me in that realm, smiling. I have forgiven you. I wake up and shouted, Father, let it be so. You know why? I was seeking for reconciliation. But when I go, she was not giving me audience. How do I do it? I go to God. Are you getting me? It was on Sunday. As we finished welcoming new members, and I went to see Pastor Lumina at the office. We're coming down. See the sister, they don't come. I don't find you two times for your office. And I won't see you. I said, nah, see me here. And there's a police there for door. I said, see me here. He said, ah, you offended me. Do you know? I said, yes, I offend you. See what they say you were talking. I said, I talk all of them. I talk them. I said, I beg, forgive me. I talk them. I don't know when I talk them. I beg, forgive. That was how we embrace. You know, that one don't end. Do you understand? You are not a Christian when you bear malice. How does it even be like you are having the malice and you are sleeping over with the malice? If you can't die for middle of the night, you will die as a malice woman. Yeah, it's designed in English. Huh? As a gossiper, when you die, you go to gossip, they go there with the judgment today. It will not be hidden from you. The Bible said at that time, everything will be revealed. Who you are will be, as we are coming, everything will be displayed. All the secrets will not be hidden. You be humanizer. You die. You go just there. Go there. Say, see how with many concubines they come. That is what who she is. Who he is. You collect people husband. Abi, when you die, they go. Those men go. They follow you because you collect their wife from them. And the Lord will prepare where the bigger side of hell, where people that collect people's husband is put you there. How can you say you have Jesus and you are not evangelizing? People are dying in your streets. Every day you go to their burial ceremony. And when you go there, you say, ah, Jesus, he don't die. Oh, God have mercy. Who shall be God have mercy? Before he died, did you convert the person? Evil uncle died. Go and convert that evil uncle to become a preacher. Hallelujah. God is looking for somebody like that woman at the well in John chapter 4. When she knew him, she ran to the city. She ran to the city. But you will say you know him, you will sit down. Anybody who offend you, no problem. Stand up on your feet.
Amen. God bless you. Be seated. Can we put our hands together for the living God? When an evangelist handles the mic, it's even from a pastor. Evangelists will make everybody repent. Please, so if I've offended you, forgive me. Anyway, I've offended anybody all over the world that is hearing me, please forgive me. In the spirit of forgiveness. If Brother Chinedu can be forgiven, then we can be forgiven also. Can we just sing this song as we are still seated? Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. It's a message for somebody. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. Thank you. I hope as this song is being sung, it will go deep into your heart. Because the foundational empowerment we need is our spiritual life. To conquer besetting sin and to be able to do God's will. That is the most important empowerment we need. Everybody know.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Spiritual life to be empowered. That's for us to receive power to conquer our besetting sins, power to conquer the flesh, and power to do the will of God. Our brother is talking about testimony, and it brings me to a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, Corinthians. Brethren, he was talking and it occurred to me that Jesus is still weeping. Jesus wept when he got to the grave of Lazarus, but the weeping of Jesus was so short at that moment. He wept because of the unbelief of his people. But in our day, Jesus is weeping, and this time, he's weeping and blood is coming out of the eyes of Jesus. Because his testimony is not being confirmed in us. There's a testimony of Christ. I have Christ, I have Christ. There is a testimony to show that you have Christ. What is it? Because if you know the purpose for which Jesus came, if it is fulfilled in you, the testimony of Christ has been made manifest in your life. For what purpose was the Lord Jesus made manifest? Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For what will he do? He shall save his people from their sins. Apostle Paul saw that in the life of the Corinthians, the ministry of Jesus had manifested. So he said, oh, the testimony of Christ is confirmed in you. Jesus did not come for us to build houses and buy cars. Jesus did not come so that we have fat bank accounts. The reason Jesus Christ came, 1 John chapter 3 verse 8, for this purpose the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. It's still the same thing we see in Matthew 1:21, that he will save us from our sins. You know why Jesus is weeping? If a temple, the temple where the sons of Eli, Ophni and Phinehas, where they were priests, a temple that was sanctified by the blood of animals, if because of the sins of Eli's sons, he could destroy Eli's children and destroy an entire nation, what about the temple that is sanctified by the blood of his son? We have abused grace too much. No wonder he said abundant grace. We have abused grace too much. Let's see what Eli's sons did. You read it, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Samuel 2, 12. Let's take it from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Bilhah. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came. While the flesh was still boiling, he came with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all Israelites that came hither. What did they do? They devoured that was holy. They abused what was holy. Now go to verse 22. Let's read it from verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all these people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? He says, notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord will destroy them. What were the sins of Eli? The first sin of Eli's sons is what we see in Proverbs 20:25. The offerings of the Lord were holy, and they abused it. Men did not have regard for the sacrifice of God again. It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy. They made light of worship. They made light of sacrifice, of offerings to God. When we talk of offering now, we're not talking of offering of your substance only. We are talking of they made light of offering unto God.
And in this generation, the first offering is ourselves, our lives. The second sin that they did was that they led the people of Israel into sin. They made the people of God to transgress. Now, God did not pardon them for these iniquities. God judged them and all the people they made to sin. But many are still committing the sins of Eli's sons in this generation, even in the church. When you set people against each other in the church, you are making people to sin. Sister, when you dress in a lustfully provocating manner and you come to church, you are making people to sin. If the sins of Eli ended with them alone, nobody would have suffered with them. But because of them, the whole nation suffered. We read the story yesterday. They led the people of God to transgress. And that is what many of us are doing in this generation. We are making the people of God to transgress. Keep your sin to yourself alone. Jesus is weeping, oh, a temple that is sanctified by animals' blood. He was so concerned about it that he sent judgment. No wonder Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. So that Eli's sons will wake up. We have Eli's sons and Eli's daughters amongst us. He says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. You see, we think grace is license to misbehave. Verse 29. Let's see what true grace is. Many of us don't even know what. No wonder God said this is our year of abundant grace. It's to bring us back to the true meaning of grace. Under Moses' law, you sinned, you died. He says, of how much sorrow punishment, suppose he, shall he be thought worthy, who are trodden underfoot the Son of God, and accounted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and are done despite unto the Spirit of grace. That's our condition. Why won't Jesus weep? Why won't Jesus weep? We live in sin and nothing happens to us. We are swimming in iniquity, and yet we are the temple of God. He's weeping, oh. He's weeping. We are almost guilty of crucifying the Lord Jesus the second time in this generation. We're already crucifying him. Jesus is weeping. So the real empowerment we need now is for us to wake up from our slumber and awake to righteousness. Eli's sons made Israel to sin. We are doing it. Why are you coming to tell me that Brother Samuel said all manner of things against me? You are not telling me in a way to inform me and to, you are not advising me so that we settle with him or love him. You are telling me in a way to steer me up against him. You are an Eli's son. Because you want people to sin, to fight. An Eli's son. That's the truth. We are the pulpit. We see all manner of things. Daddy has said this several times. Thank God for the coordinators we have. What will make you dress to church with a very big window for all to see a woman? Last week, in communal service like this, a sister came. It was last week, Thursday. She came for service. I was seeing when she came and maybe drop offering or came to collect this thing. Do you know her button? And do you know she's very busty, the sister I'm talking of? Firstly, what she wore was tight. Then, see, when we open our eyes, we see two. Physically. Her button was open, and man of God, when I looked at her, what kind of dressing is this? I could see part of her breast. Many of us unknowingly are guilty of the sins of Eli's sons. Not only do we abuse the offerings of God, not only do we defile God's temple, which is our body, the greater one is that we lead people to sin. A sister was sharing, not a testimony, she was saying something. How Satan wants to bring her into pornography. This Guinea man, Balthazar, the one that was raining which day, somebody sent her the video and she opened it. This is somebody that God just delivered from pornography. In Crete, you know, are you seeing Eli's son? Although the person that sent her was not a member of the church. Are you seeing what we are saying? When I check your status as my brother in the Lord, what do I see? On your platform of the social media, will what I see here define me, comfort me, or lead me into sin? The sins of Eli's sons, the highest one, was that they led the people of God to transgress. Are we leading others into sin? Knowingly or unknowingly? See, I believe it is my heart. I didn't see it as a vision. Jesus is weeping. The Lord is weeping. He's really weeping. Because his people have abused grace. They have abused grace. So God could be so concerned about Eli's sons, whose temple was sanctified by animals' blood. Then God will so vex and destroy them. And then he left us a witness in the scripture we just read, in that Hebrews 10:29. He says, we that are messing up his temple now, don't you think our punishment is supposed to be more? When God starts judging us, maybe only a few people will be coming to church. I pray, because this one that says abundant grace, I pray that that judgment, maybe, and we can't escape it. As his coming is drawing nearer, his judgment will become more severe. If you are made and meant to go to heaven and you are still caught up in iniquity, he will deal with you. When you see sin, you will run away. If he's not dealing with you, it's evidence that you are not part of those that should go to heaven. Brethren, let's wake up. Let's stop abusing grace. Eli's sons brought women to the temple to sleep with them. You are the temple. What are you doing in this temple of God? What are you doing in this temple of God? Do you still watch pornography? Do you still lie from this temple? Do you still fornicate in this temple? And you know the thing? These things are done so, like, we have come to accept it, like, it's not of him that will let, you know. There's this way we put it as if it is normal. If you fall, you try. You just try. Don't worry, grace. We're abusing grace. Oh, that's not what grace is. That's not what grace is. That's not what grace is. Grace is to build us up, to live up to his expectations. Not for him to come down. He will bring you from that lowly estate and make you reach his expectation. Not for God to lower his standard to meet us. That's not what grace is. So I can see him weeping. I can see him weeping. I can see him weeping. When his people are still caught up in all manner of sins, he's weeping. When his people are manifesting the character of Eli's sons, he's weeping. Brethren, the most important thing we should seek this new year is how to be perfect and blameless before him. That's it. That's the most important thing. That's it. See, if the only empowerment you receive is that you can live a life pleasing before God, you are empowered. Because he even said, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. What else are we looking for power for? Is it not so that we will live abundant life? Let him first settle the most important one. Let him first settle the main empowerment we need is to conquer our besetting sin and this flesh. The ability to do his way. I'm so very, very, very blessed and moved by what Evangelist Chinedu, God has used him to speak to us this evening. We need to wake up. The testimony of Christ must be confirmed in us. His work is to save his people from their sins. If we are still in our sin, his testimony is not confirmed.
Sorry about that.
You have been a Christian for how many years? Is the testimony of Christ confirmed in you? If above every other thing, brother, sister, seek to be in right standing with God this year, and you will see him come true for you. So let us wake up. May we not be like Eli's sons in Jesus' name. Can we be on our feet? You come line by line. When you receive the bread and the wine, the first prayer we'll pray, keep praying it. Father, make me perfect and blameless before you. Give me the power to do your will, to conquer my flesh, to conquer sin. Line by line, let's come forward.
I am weak, but thou art strong.